God is good. I said, He's good. Has He been good to you? Come on, has He been good to you? He might not have always been on your time, but He's always been on time. Right, right. It might not have been just like you liked it or how you thought it should be, but He's always on time. Amen. And He's for you. He's not against you. Let me say that again. He's for you. You know, others may judge you by the way you look, the way you sound, the way you know, whatever. But God created you unique. And He's for the way He created you. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. He wants you to be you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Father, we just come before You and we're going to enter Your word, Lord. And I thank You that Your word makes a difference in our lives. We thank You that Your entrance of Your word brings light. And in Jesus' name, God, we thank You for working in our midst. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear that? The baby wanted to hear me preach, but they took the baby out. Yeah, I didn't want to go. Glory to God. He likes the presence of God too. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about two spies. Two spies. So go to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Come on, His word is good, isn't it? I said His word is good. Hallelujah. He wants His word to be implanted on the inside of you. So when thoughts come up or situations happen, you go, I got a word for that. Right? I got a word for that. You know, when worry comes, no, He said, fret not. He's with me. He's got it handled. Glory to God. His word. So this morning I want to read, we're going to read the whole chapter, which we normally don't do, but I want to tell the whole story and then we'll come back and make some comments. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent Rahab to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who've come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she laid over in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Watch this now. But before they laid down, she came up to the roof, saying to the men, I know, I love this, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when He came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and on the earth beneath. He still is, by the way. Now, therefore, I beg you to swear by me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell of this business of ours, it shall be that when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope from the windows, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And then she said to them, "Get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterwards you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made to swear, unless we come into the land you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Unless you bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household into your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside of the doors of your house into the street, this blood shall be on your head. And we will be guiltless, and whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on them. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from the oath which you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she went with them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the windows. And they departed and went to the mountains and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had returned. And the pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all that had been befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." You know, that story just speaks to me so much about the time that we live in. Because if you look at it, you could think of, you know, they're all against us. I mean, the Christians are persecuted and we're called crazy and haters and all of that stuff. And it's like, wait a minute. They're just deceived. Don't worry about that. God's with you. God's for you. God's going to be on your side, right? I love this story, and I want to talk about the two spies, and I want to talk about Rahab, because I think it has application for me and you today. Watch this in verse 1. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from the Kea Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. There's so much in that verse, but I want to point out a couple of things. Joshua sent out two, not 12. If you remember the story of how originally Moses said, "I'm going to send out 12 spies, one from each tribe, and we're going to, you know, find out what the land is," and only two came back with a good report, and they had to wander in the desert for 40 years because they listened to the 10 instead of the two. And Joshua says, "We're having none of that nonsense, right? I don't want everybody's opinion. I just want the report. And I found two that I can trust with the report, so I'm only going to send out two." And I'll tell you, in our lives, we need to be careful about who we're telling our report to. Because sometimes we're sending it to the 12, and they're spinning it in such a way that God can't get through for us, right? And watch this. This is so cool. I love that, two and not 12. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Hold your place, because we're going to come right back. God showed me this. I think it is so cool. In Matthew chapter 18, You all know this particular verse, probably most of you anyway. But let's read it again. And think about it. Ponder it and ask just for revelation of this. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, it says this, again, Jesus is speaking, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If any two of you can agree. You see, he's saying it doesn't take a lot. In fact, at times you need to restrict it to two. Because he said if two of you can agree, that's hard enough, right? To get somebody to really agree with you, that's tough. But concerning the things of God and the things that you're going through and maybe some wisdom that you need to get two who can agree, two who are of the Word, two who believe God, two who are for you, who come with you, not 10, not 20, because it says here, if you can get two to agree, then God will do whatever you two agree on when you ask Him about it. But He wants the prayer of agreement, not the prayer of opinion. Let me say that one more time. He wants the prayer of agreement and not the prayer of opinion. In other words, if you get more than two or three, sometimes you start to get opinions rather than agreement. And so, you know, have you ever said to somebody, hey, could you agree with me in prayer? And they, oh, sure, I can. But I'll tell you that more often than not, they're going away with their heart and not really in agreement with you at all. They're saying, well, I hope it happens. It could happen. Well, we'll see what happens. See, they're not in total agreement with you. They're not for you. Right? So I'm not saying that you can't have a lot of people around you, but what I'm saying is that God, when the rubber, you know, starts to meet the road, God will send you to one or two that you can trust. Right? Don't look for the 12. Sometimes numbers is not a benefit. It can be a detriment. It's like, put this on the prayer chain, and I'm all for prayer chain, and I'm all for prayer going up all over the world. I'm all for that. But sometimes a prayer chain is nothing more than a gossip chain. And you're believing God for something, but the majority on that chain don't think it'll happen. So what you need to do is find somebody that... Now, do you agree with this? Now, don't tell me you do if you don't. Here's what I'm believing God for. Here's where His promises in His Word say this. He said He'd supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have His Word on it. And He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Can you agree with me that He will meet this need because He said He would? Well, yeah, I'll agree with you. No, really. We're going to get this down. And we're going to put it on a piece of paper, and then we're going to agree with it, but you're going to sign. In fact, I might have to get a notary to make sure that you sign. And watch it. Ink is not good enough. I need you to just, you know, put a pin in your finger here and write it in blood, because I need to make sure that you agree with me wherever two or more. Right? So he didn't send 10 spies out. He sent two. And I believe God has another spy for you. Let me say that. I believe that God has somebody in your life that you can trust with anything. Somebody that's for you and not against you. It's time to build that relationship with them, because God's got a plan for that relationship. Hallelujah. Go back to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. So the first point is that God wants you to have somebody that has your back, that you can really pray with and pray for. And let me just say this. If somebody comes up with you and says, could you agree with me in prayer? And you can't, tell them you can't. No, man, I can't believe that. Right? You're believing for this and you know, you're believing for that house? I don't believe it. I don't think God's going to get, oh, great, thank you. But keep your opinion to yourself. Can I tell you a story about that? Y'all remember Barb and when she had to have a lot of money in order to get this procedure when she had cancer. Well, not all, a lot of you. Let me just rephrase that because some of you don't know even what I'm talking about. There was a lady in our church and she had cancer, but her insurance wouldn't cover this particular place that spoke to her that they were positive that they could help her. But her insurance said, that's outside of our carrier. We're not sure if we can do it. But it was an imminent thing that needed to happen. It wasn't something you could put off for a year or 2 years while the insurance is kind of trying to figure out whether they can cover it. So, again, we're at the other building, just probably as many that are in here, maybe a few more. And it was on my heart to say, look, this is an urgent need. God will meet this need. And I forget how much it was. Like, I think it was $20,000 or something like that. Do you remember? I was up. What was it, Terry? 30 or something? Yeah. They had to have $30,000. And I'm going, I wish I had $30,000. I wish the church had $30,000. I wish we had it, but we don't. But it was urgent. And in my spirit, I said, listen, we're going to believe God that by Tuesday, we're going to have that money. And I've never said that since nor before. But I said, if you can't believe it, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut, because I'm believing for it, and I don't need your disagreement to be messing up my agreement, right? And dismissed the service, but by 1 o'clock, we had the money. We had the money. Glory to God. And then the insurance company came through and paid all the money back where the money had come from. I mean, it was God, right? So sometimes we have to be careful about disagreement. So don't share your story sometimes with others. And definitely don't share what you're believing God with others who will try to talk you out of what God's put in your heart. So the first point is, find somebody you can agree with. And don't look for a lot. Sometimes fewer are better. Verse 1 again, it says, now Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out 2 men from the acacia grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went, and they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now you think if God was going to use anybody in Jericho, it would have been somebody that was a priest or a mayor or, you know, the governor or somebody that had integrity, right? But no. Go to the harlot's house. God sent them. They didn't know it, but God put them in a position where they had to go into Rahab's house. Glory to God. Because it didn't matter what her condition or what her disposition was at the moment. God knew that her heart was after him. Right? She said, we've heard. We've heard about this God of yours, and I believe it's true. I believe it so much that I'm going to risk my life in hiding you. But in my hiding you, I know that I'll be rescued. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is do you believe that God is your Redeemer? Is God your Redeemer? And if He is, He can make you something when everybody is telling you that you're nothing. Let me say that again. He can make you something when all the voices in your head are calling you nothing. Oh, you're nothing but a harlot. You're nothing. Who's going to even look at you? If God came into this city, He would not pick you. Here's what I'm saying, that today, this morning, quit looking at yourself as not qualified, because the blood has made you qualified. And secondly, quit judging others by their past. If God is going to put somebody in your path, just don't go, well, God can't use them. He's going to bring somebody else. He's got to bring somebody else because they don't qualify. I'm telling you, let God be God. Right? You remember when Jesus was about to die and the woman came up to Him and poured the alabaster oil all over His, perfumed Him, and everybody got upset. That stuff's expensive. What are you doing wasting it? We could have used that to feed some people. And what they were really saying is that woman who demons have come out of and her past isn't the greatest, and there she is, she's blowing it again. Right? But God said, no, I see the potential here. What she's doing is great in my eyes. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Quit judging others by what they've done and begin to ask God to use whoever He wants to in your life, so that He can get His message to you, He can get His protection to you, that He can get His wisdom to you, come on. Hallelujah. Have you ever read the book of Proverbs? It's an amazing book. I love the book of Proverbs because it says some things that it's like, if you don't listen to a rebuke, you're a fool. You know, foolish ones won't listen to correction or whatever. I found a long time ago that wisdom comes when my heart is toward God and I'm not concerned about who He's going to use to bring me the wisdom. As you can see, I'm a man, and I'm a father, and I'm a grandfather, and I'm a husband. So bless God, when I go home, I'm the man of the house. Hallelujah. I'm the king of the roost, right? You know, I can remember even when our kids were small and they'd come up and say something to me and I'm thinking, who are you? You're the kids. I'm the man. You know, and my heart wouldn't listen to God was trying to use my kids to correct me. What am I saying? Do not limit God by your view of somebody else, because God wants to use them for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love that. Rahab the harlot. It's so good. Never limit who God can use. And you know, this woman, Rahab, for the rest of the scripture, she's mentioned over and over and over again. Let's look at a couple of them. Go to Matthew chapter 1. I just think this is so cool. Matthew chapter 1. And it's given Jesus' lineage. In other words, this is how it all came through, and this is all to prove the prophetic timeline and the lineage of Jesus. Look at verse 5. And it says, "And Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king." Two foreigners who are out of the outside that didn't have the lineage of being the elite blood are mentioned in one and two verses. And Rahab is one of them. Ruth was a Moabite. But here's Rahab. So what I'm saying, the blood of Jesus makes everybody a possibility for God to use if you'll let them. If you'll think about them. Glory to God. You know, I just, again, the attitudes that some people have just crack me up. It's like husbands and wives, and maybe this isn't as prevalent as was, but at one time it was like, "Wives, you just shut up and listen to your husbands. I'm the man of the house. I'll decide what's happening." And how stupid is that? And all the women are going, yes. And I'm not going to get into it, but in Proverbs 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman, and I have a teaching on this, but a virtuous woman, and you go, yeah, that's the kind of woman I want, bless God. You know, and you look at whoever God's put you with, and you go, well, doesn't match, right? But when I was studying that for a marriage a series, and I thought, boy, I'm going to hit the women now. I've been hitting the men pretty hard. I'm going to hit the women. So a virtuous woman who can find. No, they're hard to come by, I tell you. They're hard to come by. And when I was meditating on that, I felt impressed by the Lord to go back to the first verse. And the first verse of Proverbs 31 says this. It says, "A proverb to King Lemuel, who his mother taught him." What? And there's several things here, right? But one of them, and what I'm talking about is quit limiting who God can use. So here's the first thing that came to my mind. Well, you know, that makes sense. Wives, mothers, telling your sons to go to their dad to figure out how women are is stupid. Because we don't have a clue. Right? But watch this. It says a virtuous woman, and this is the mom talking to the son, a virtuous woman who can find. And I was meditating on that. I'm not talking about going to the Hebrew or anything like that. But the Lord began to speak to me about the word find. And here's the analogy that he gave me. He said that, you know, you could be walking along a creek bed, look down, there's something gold down there, you know, it's sparkling, and you dip in and I found gold. That's definitely find, right? You just happen to be walking by it and you found it. But the second guy comes by, he sees a little gold, he says, "If there's some, there's got to be more. So I'm going to put some effort into finding a little bit more." And he goes and gets the pie tin and starts digging some dirt and doing the whole shaking thing. And so he is a different level of finding. And then the third person comes in and says, "Yeah, I've panned a little bit and I've seen a little bit. But if there's gold here, it's got to be coming from somewhere." So he goes to town, he buys a pickaxe, a shovel, and a donkey, and heads to the mountains, because he's going to dig out the gold. A virtuous woman who can dig out. It's up to us to mine the things that God wants for us through other people. And sometimes if we look at them as valueless, we won't search it out. So here's this woman, Rahab. And it's just amazing to me. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 11. But if you notice, in the rest of the lineage of Jesus, there's no other wives mentioned. It's just these wives. Why? Because God used somebody that was outside of the norm, and he wanted them to be recognized for their belief. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's go to verse 31. I think this is so cool. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe, but when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me. And it goes on to talk. But look at this. Rahab is mentioned in the chapter of our faith heroes. This harlot who was outside of the camp became valuable in the camp. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying quit limiting what God wants to do through other people in your life. If you pray for certain things, like you pray for wisdom, then look for God to bring somebody to give it to you. And quit looking at who you think is going to bring it and believe that God will use anybody that he chooses to bring that to you. There's a joke that goes around that says, don't pray for patience. Why? Because with patience brings tribulation, right? Right? Don't pray for patience. Have you ever prayed, God, show me my heart? Yeah, right? God, show me my heart. Anybody ever prayed that? I pray it all the time. I want to make sure my heart is right. Show me my heart. And I've mentioned this over and over again, that the minute you pray that, he's going to bring somebody to make you mad. He's going to bring somebody that's going to just irritate the fire out of you. Why? Because he's pointing out something in your heart that he wants to change. Glory to God. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go back to Joshua chapter 2. So again, the two spies, they went and they found somebody that God was going to use to help them, protect them at the time, but also help with the plan. And God rewarded not only the two spies, but those who helped the two spies. Right? You find somebody that you can stand with and that will stand with you, and you'll both be blessed. Amen? That's so good. Joshua chapter 2, and look at verse 14. So again, the harlot made the contract. I'll help you, but here's the conditions that I want, right? This is what I want. And the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. You got to find somebody that you can trust. I said, you got to find somebody that you can trust. Somebody that will have your back to the point of life or death. And there's very few people that you can do that with. But when you find one, hang on to them. Trust them. Quit letting the devil tell you how bad they are and begin to believe God with them. Right? So you got to find somebody whom you can trust. And then you've got to trust those that God sends to you. Right? It's like, Lord, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to trust her. Like, I'll trust Renita with my life. There's no question, no qualms about it. She has my back and she knows I have hers. I'll lay my life down for her. I can trust her. So she's a good candidate for me to be in agreement with that one or two. But there are others who I know. I'm going to talk about one. And a lot of you know him, some of you don't. But Marcy Owens' husband, Ronnie, used to be in church. And Ronnie was a character. I mean, a character. There are some things he did that just... Did he just do that? Did he just say that? I'll just give you one. Ronnie, quit putting your gum under the seat. I would go to his seat and there'd be gum underneath it. Oh, I didn't do that. It must have been one of the kids. Ronnie, that's your seat. You put the gum. I mean, he was a character, right? But here's what I know. That if I never, ever, ever needed somebody, Ronnie would be there for me. He would give his life for me. I knew that. He had my back. Right? And sometimes that's very few in between. I'll tell you, I had an incident where I was, and I'm hardly ever, I've only been there a couple times, been the one in the emergency room on the bed. I'm usually by the bed, right? But this one day I was, you know, by the bed. I've been there for a little while. And the next thing you know, here's Ronnie showing up. He'd heard something and he was right there. Because he had my back. See, when you find somebody like that, treasure them. But also trust them. Sometimes it's hard to trust people, isn't it? Why? Because you've been let down before. But when God sends you, your Rahab, begin to trust her. Begin to trust her. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to close, but go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. So this is after the walls had fallen down and they'd come in and done the whole thing and God gave them great victory. But in John chapter 6, the walls had fallen down. Verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkey, with the sword. But Joshua said to the two spies that had gone out of the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young women who had been, or the young men who had been spies and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all she had. So they brought out all of her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. In other words, when you have somebody that's got your back, honor them with your word. Do what you promised to do. Honor them. Put them in a place of honor. You know, you have friends. But for me, let me say this. Well, I have more acquaintances than I have friends. Right? And I have a lot of friends. Don't misunderstand me. But a lot of people are just acquaintances. Just because you know somebody doesn't mean that they're your friend. Right? The friendship comes down when they're there for you when you need them. And it's determined, right? Watch this. It's determined the more that they're there for you, the more that you can count on them. And you know when they're there for you, when it's inconvenient for them to be there, that you've got somebody that you can hang on to, right? Hallelujah. I'll be there for you. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. Okay. All right. We'll see. Right? But when you find one who that you know is there, don't take them for granted. Honor them and give them a place of honor. Quit treating them like the rest of your friends and place them in a place of honor. Why? Because God will use them in your life as you give honor to them. What does honor mean? It means you have a high regard in my sight. I'm elevating you to the place above some others because God has given me to you as a gift. There are places, watch this. Nobody that I'm talking about in your life is perfect. Nobody, because none of us are. But sometimes we have to honor by faith. Can I give you a verse for that? Ephesians chapter 6, or chapter 5, and verse 23, it says, husbands, love your wives. But then it says, wives, some versions say obey, some versions say respect, and some versions say honor. Have you met my husband? Have you been around my husband? Well, honey, he has to love you, and you know. So sometimes we have to honor and love by faith, and love and honor out of obedience, and it's because we're not only honoring that person, but we're honoring God who gave us that person. Are you with me? And God, we have to get to the point where God, if you said to do it, I'm going to do it. Because I'm a person of your word. I'm a person who believes your word. I'm a person who will do your word. All right. So when God brings us a Rahab, we can't limit who God can use. We must trust those people that God puts in our lives. And then we have to honor those who God sends. Don't devalue them, but value them highly. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all of those that are listening online and those that are here in the room. I thank you, God, that you've sent people to us and you've given us such opportunities to value gifts that you brought to us. And I'm just like everybody else, Lord. I've not been as good with this as I need to be. So I ask you, God, to just forgive me for all of those times that I looked at people the wrong way instead of valuing the asset that you were bringing to me. But Lord, from this moment on, I'm giving you my heart and I'm giving you my word that I'm going to look at people the best that I can through your eyes and through your blood. Thank you, Lord, for using people in my life. Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory for everything that you're doing this morning. I thank you, Lord, that there were some people in here who were healed in their lungs because your presence came into them. I thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You told us to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, and that happens. But you also said, Lord, that all who come to you, you in no ways would turn out. And that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here in the room, or if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're watching online, yield yourself to Him. Just say, Lord, I'm not perfect and I know it, and I can't come into Your perfection based on my actions, so I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I need Your forgiveness. So right now I come to You and I say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. And I'll give You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you meant that in your heart, your life just changed. Your eternity changed. Hallelujah. So if I could have the worship team come on up, we're going to dismiss with a worship song. But if you need prayer for anything, you need prayer for agreement today, if you need prayer for healing today, if you need finances, or if you've never received your prayer language, what do I mean by that? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as God gave them utterance. I don't have time to teach on that, but a prayer language is a great benefit to you. You've never received it, you want it, come on up, we'll pray for you, God will do it. But let's worship Him right now. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth.